Good morning, everyone.
Long live the King.
So what I like to do is I always like to open up in prayer because I don't have it all together. You know, we serve a great God, and he so chooses to use people like us. So I like to pray to start off so that anything that's in me that he removes out of the way, and then his spirit has an empty vessel to be able to use, and a mind full of knowledge that he's helped me to study and learn that he pulls out, all right? So let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up your holy and righteous name. You are our God. You are good. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory because you deserve it. You deserve all of the worth that you prescribe, Lord. It's all for you. So right now, Father, we just pray, Father, that your will be done and that your kingdom come in this sanctuary today as it is in heaven. May your spirit lead and guide and give this man named Cornell Swain words to say so that everyone here may be encouraged as well as challenged to be about your business. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So just a quick introduction. My name is Cornell Swain, and there is a general tagline for believers in the faith that we love to do, especially, you know, when we're like brothers and we went to school together, we always like to say, you know, Pastor Jorge and I, or Pastor Chavez, we're brothers from another mother but the same father, right? So we are brothers in the ministry. We love one another. And we went to school together at Golden Gate. And Dr. Ganey was our mentor. So Dr. Ganey was my mentor. And so I know Dr. Ganey was here. And he's such an amazing man. So I have come here today just to share a word with you. My beautiful wife, Malika Swain, is in the back. And I want you guys... I want you guys to know that it's true. Well, all the older men in here know, so I'm speaking to the younger men. It is true, you know, when you find a good wife, when you find a wife, you have found a good thing. Because with my beautiful wife back there, I'm catching up. You know, she's already there. I'm catching up, you know, and she's going to get her third degree now with Golden Gate, biblical counseling degree. So that's my beautiful wife, my daughter, Niora, and then my son, Josiah, just left out of the room. So Pastor invited me here today, and we do sports ministry, or I'm one of the leads of sports ministry at San Quentin State Prison. And I am a missionary, and now here to the Bay, and went to Golden Gate, and now my mission field is the entire Bay, as well as San Quentin State Prison. And with that, I did a conference last, I thought it was a meeting, but it ended up being a small, tiny conference. And I was like, what's going on here? I said, well, I'm glad I came prepared. So I got up and did a presentation, and Pastor Chavez was like, hey, you're at my church on Sunday, just do you. So that's what I'm here to do today. And the message today is coming from, he gave me a nice little pocket clicker. There we go. It's called The Good Master. And I know that's a very unusual title for this passage of Scripture, but as we get to reading and breaking it down, you'll understand the vantage point of where I'm coming from when I say The Good Master. So we got a nice PowerPoint. I brought my Bible, but I guess they have it here, so I'll read it off of here. For it is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted the possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gain two more. But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and his master's money. Oh, well, I guess that's written wrong. Dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave or servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, one who had received two talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave or servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into your master's happiness," or enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away this talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out this worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. So, traditionally, when we look at this, there's a major focus on the talents, right? If you've been in church long enough, you know this parable as the parable of the talents. And the focus is on the talents, what you're given, and are you faithful with what you're given, right? But today, I want to look at it from a different angle. And in that angle, it's in context, and it helps everything flow. So, as we start here, and talking about this good master, not the talents, but the good master, the giver of the talents, what I want to first start doing is I want to talk about, give you a brief introduction, right? Because many times it only focus on this parable. And if you only focus on this parable, you miss so much of what's going on. Because this whole discourse starts in chapter 22. And now we're in chapter 25, and the book is over in chapter 28, right? So in this discourse, we see Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Usually you call it Palm Sunday. And he's entering into Jerusalem. And as he enters in, he begins to proclaim the kingdom of God. He begins to challenge the religious leaders and even condemn the religious leaders for what they're actually doing to God's people and preventing them from entering into the kingdom. So when you get to chapter 24, right before, actually 23, as he's condemning all of them, he basically says, O Jerusalem, basically how I mourn and I weep for you because you won't repent. You won't turn back to me. And then as you start chapter 24, the disciples, because that's who he then shifts to talk to, not the Pharisees anymore, not the Sadducees, religious. Now he shifted to the disciples, and the disciples, they walk by the temple, And they talk, and then he says something about the temple, and then they say, hey, Master, Jesus, what's going to happen to the temple? And then in chapter 24, he begins to share all of the things after the destruction of the temple. And those things is where we find ourselves in chapter 25 in play. Because he begins to talk about the end of the age, and then not only the end of the age, you know, and what's going to happen while he's gone, and then when he comes back. And the major focus that he says there is that the gospel will be preached to the whole entire world, and when it's complete, I will come back. And then to illustrate that, then you turn into the wicked servant, the first parable that enters that. And in the wicked servant, it basically talks about, he's saying that while I'm away, because I'm not going to come back when you think. Remember, he's talking to the disciples. You may think that I'm instantly come back, but no man knows the day, no man knows the hour, so you have to be ready. And he begins to tell a parable about a wicked servant. And this wicked servant, basically, it's saying is that the master's gone. And I don't know how many of y'all, if y'all work jobs, sometimes when the master's gone, when the boss is gone, you're like, oh, I'm going to kick my feet up. I'm going to relax a little bit. He's not going to be back till 5 o'clock. Maybe if I rush and get all of my work done in 3 hours, I have the rest of the day to rest, right? There are a lot of different things that go through our mind. But this wicked servant began to mistreat everybody because now he had power. Now he had power. And he began to mistreat everybody. And then when the master came back, because he came back sooner than he thought, then what happens? This master then reprimands him and then throws him out where there'll be weeping and gnashing. He calls him wicked. Then the virgins, the 10 virgins. And so when we talk about the 10 virgins, the same thing. The 10 virgins are being prepared for the master's return, right? And it talks about this oil and how the bridegroom is coming, and you have 5 wise, 5 foolish, and the wise ones, they kind of waited to light theirs, and they rationed their oil, but then the 5 unwise, they just let theirs go, and then they didn't have enough, and when the master, or should I say when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready because they had to run off and get oil. And that leads us now into the parables. And all of these flow together, but if you don't really, and they need to be preached together, but many times you don't have the time. But now talking about the talents, when we look at the talents basically is, will you be faithful with what the Lord has given you until his return? That is what it's talking about, right? And so now that we're up to speed, I want to introduce you to something. There's this master that we see here. And this master, he had a business, he had a profession, he had a job. And he had slaves or servants that were in his care. And these slaves or servants watched this master do his job. They even helped this master do his job. And this master probably even taught these slaves how to do his job, so when he was gone, they would be ready to do what he needed them to do. So if we look at this master, who is our master? Our master is God, right? Our master is God. And so if he's talking to the disciples, if Jesus is talking to the disciples, then what does that mean for them? That Christ is their master. He is their good teacher. So what is his profession? His profession and what he's been called to do in Mark 1:15, it says, for the kingdom of God is hand, repent for the kingdom of God is hand. So his job is to go out into the world and to call people to repent, first and foremost. That is the job of Jesus. That was his job. Then what do we see? What is his job? Luke 4, it says, for I have been anointed to proclaim the good news to what? To the poor. Then it says to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free. And then it goes and says, for it's the year in the favor of the Lord, that now it's the year where all debts are canceled, and then you can just come. Just come. Come to the Father. Come. It's a reset, right? And so, but what else is Jesus here to do, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he even says, for lo, I will be with you always. So now, if we look at our master, that is our job. It has nothing to do with the talents. Nothing to do with the talents. Our job is to glorify and honor God and to be about his business. To glorify and honor God and to be about his business. And what is his business? To call all lost souls, those who are broken, those who are down, those who are, you know, he says, to the widow, to the orphan, to those who are in prison, those who are hungry. Then he even says to the foreigner, right? We're supposed to go out to the world and call them to repent. That is each and every one of our jobs. But what happens is that many of us, we love the talent. We think about the talent. And when we read this, this whole message becomes about the talent. But the talent, all the talent is the worm that's on the fishing pole that when you go out fishing for men, that's just the lure that to help bring people in. But your business is the gospel. Your business is teaching. Your business is proclaiming his word. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples, people that look like you, because I taught you. So you're supposed to make people that look like you and teach them to obey everything that I've taught you. It doesn't say go out and serve some food in the kitchen, and while you're serving food in the kitchen, smile at them and then invite them to come to church to hang out with Pastor Chavez. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, you know, do this and then Pastor Allen will take over. But it says teach them to obey, right? So it's not about the talent. It's about our God, and it's about our heart and what we believe about this God, because that's what this whole discourse is talking about. He's condemning the Pharisees for their hearts and how they say they love God, but yet their hearts are so far from God. And now he's talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them about these talents, he's teaching them all of these parables about what's going to happen while I'm gone and how you need to be ready and faithful when I come back. And it's about his business, not about the talents. The talents are great, but it's about God. It's about Christ. It's about his work. And now we, as servants and slaves of the master, we should find joy in this work, right? So what we have here is, you know, talking about the talents, and talking about, you know, the work that we do, sports ministry. You know, I struggled for a long, long time. I was an athlete my whole life. I played football. I played basketball. I played rugby. I ran track. I played soccer. You name it. I played it all. So the Lord had given me talents in sports. But what happened with my talent? For so many years, because I wasn't a 10, but I was like a 7.5. So I was good. 5 is average. I was a 7.5. And so what would happen is when I would score touchdowns or when I would hit a three-pointer or when I would do whatever, people would become drawn to me. They would come to me. They were like, oh, great job. They would want to hang around me. They want to go work out with me. But what did I have to give them? Nothing. Just me, a sinful man. And then I began to say, there's something going on. All these people are drawn to me because of my talent, but I'm missing something. What am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing? And then I rededicated my life to Christ. And when I rededicated my life to Christ, I began to spend time learning, began to spend time growing. And then I was on the board of a sports ministry, and I was the guy that everyone loved to see because I would wear a rabbit outfit out there to play in one day, and then I would come out with a pirate outfit on to play in, and so everyone was laughing at me. Everyone wanted to see me, but yet there still was something missing because everyone was drawn, and I was saying, hey, you know, y'all take over, Pastor, but something was missing, right? And so then one time I went on a mission trip. And I started going on mission trips, and we were building churches and playing sports. But then I'm like, God, I am glorifying you. I am doing what you called me to do. But then there still was something missing. And then I started having these dreams. I was 32 years old. I started having these dreams that I was failing reading class in high school. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I am a grown man. I didn't go to college and done a whole bunch of things. How is it that I'm failing reading? But in those dreams that repeatedly happened, that was the Lord calling me to say that I needed to go to seminary. I needed some form of type of training because I had made it about the talent and not about him. And I needed to grow and making it about him and less about the talent. Because the talent is, once again, just the worm on the hook. And as I began to go out and to learn and to grow and to surrender my will to the Lord, I then began to see opportunities to use my talent. Because now I love the Lord. It wasn't about my talent, but it was about my God, my Lord, my Savior, and what he had done in my life, and how I was so grateful and thankful that he saved someone like me. Paul says that I was the worst of the worst Hebrews, right? I was the worst of the worst sinners. And many times I think about all of the things that I've done in my life and how horrible of a man I was, but God still saved. He doesn't just save people who steal pencils. He saves some of the most wretched of us. And that's what makes him such a good master. That's what makes him to where, whatever you give me, God, I will serve you. And my job is to proclaim you. My job is to go out and to whoever will listen, even if it's the rocks, I will cry out to the rocks, the goodness of my God. So when we look at this good master, because he's a good master, we must be about his business immediately. Immediately. When we were looking at the scripture, it said that this master that's in the text that Jesus actually gave his disciples to illustrate the parable to him, when it talks about this master, it basically says that he went off on a journey, a long journey. And then it says, immediately the two went straight to work. They began trading. They began doing all of the things that they were doing. They went immediately to work. Immediately. And that's what God is asking for us. When he puts something in your hand, don't sit around. Don't wait. Don't look for somebody else to do it. He's given it to you. Immediately go and be about his business. You know? So what's the issue? Why do we not immediately, because that word is very, it's there for us to understand that they went. They didn't waste any time. They wanted to be about their master's business. So when it says immediately, why don't we go immediately? Think about this. In Acts 1, in the end of Luke, turn it into Acts 1. The disciples, Jesus came back, but they didn't recognize him. He was in his glorified body. And when he came back, they were out fishing. They weren't immediately proclaiming this gospel in Matthew 28 that he told them to go out to. They were fishing. They were moping. They were mourning. And he had to come and give them a 40-day crash course to get it back together again. You know, because if you read through Matthew in the Gospels, you find quite often that he would say something and he would say, "Do you not yet get it? How long have you been with me?" That sounds like me a lot of times when he's talking to me. But how could you don't get this? You know, and he would have to explain it again. So here is this 40-day crash course where he's having to explain again to them all that he's told them before so they can be about his business. But even after explaining it to them, in verse 4 of Acts 1, their will still pops up. Because one of them says, "Hey, Jesus, so when are you going to restore the temple and restore the kingdom back to Israel?" And if this was kind of like when I grew up, it would almost in verse 5, like, mind your business. You know, you be about my business. And my business is verse 8, he goes on to says that, you know, that the Holy Spirit will come and they will proclaim the gospel all of Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. So even after giving them a 40-day crash course, they still were concerned about the temple and when he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. So many of us, even if we know that we need to be about the Father's business, we have to view God for who he is and start pushing aside all of these excuses like the disciples had. They had good excuses. They were mourning. They didn't know what happened to Jesus. But yet, he came back and they weren't about his business. So what is holding you back from immediately being about the Father's business? What is holding you? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart that prevents you from immediately being about his business? Because that's what he's called us to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the gospel, and to use what he's given us and to immediately be about his business. And we also see that, you know, because he is a good master, he gives us exactly what we need. Exactly what we need. He says he gave to one, he gave five. To another, he gave two. And to another, he gave one. And right after, he said he gave according to their ability. He gave them the talents according to their ability, to what he knew that they can do. So we serve such a good God that he knows exactly what you need to do the assignment that he's left you to do. That's how good God is. That's how good the master is that we don't have to go out and try to figure it out. You know, people are always saying, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Your purpose is to be about God's business, and he gave you exactly what you need to do it. Just go out, and you'll start seeing it happening, right? That's how good of a God he is. You know, and this is not something foreign. If you look back at Exodus 31, what we find, it's 1 through 11, and talks about when the nation was moving in, they were starting to build the tabernacle, build the Ark of the Covenant, right? And so God just didn't say, Malika, Alan, Dottie, you go build the tabernacle. But what he did say is, Moses, I have anointed men with wisdom, skills, and abilities to be able to build this. And he began to call off names with all of the abilities and the skills that he gave them to do the job and what job that they were going to do. And even if you look to Ephesians 4, it talks about the church and how he's given us prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers, the ability and the talent. And we look to Corinthians, it talks about the spiritual gifts. He knows you and he loves you so well that he's given you the abilities and the gifts. You know, once again, wrapping in, you know, the sports ministry and what we do. On a mission trip one time, we were building this church. And I was, you know, if anybody's played sports, you know the terminology, I'm in the zone. I'm in the zone to build this church. I got five thumbs, but he is gave me the opportunity to come build this church. I'm going to hammer just like this. I'm going to do what I need to do to build this church. And while I was there, the very first day, our site was on a basketball court, and the church was next door. And after work, some of our team, there was a host team that was from there. It was a tiny town called Chiapas near Guatemala. And we had a host team, and then there was our team, where the host team went out and started playing basketball. And then our team, one or two of them, but I was like, you know, I'm in the zone, God. I'm going to glorify you. You know, I ain't got time for basketball. I do that when I get home. You know, I need to be praying. I was holy. I need to be praying. I need to be doing whatever I need to do to make sure, because I got five thumbs, and I need your help to build this church, right? And so what ended up happening, as they were playing, I got to watching, and finally I was like, you know what? Just go out and shoot a shot. And when I walked out, you know, this is the three-point line on the side. This is the outer bounds. And I picked the ball up, like, right here. I kind of looked at the ball. It was flat. There was no net on the goal. and my basketball player, no. So I did like this, and I just shoot it. And I was just going to go hop back in the bus. And I've been working all day. The arms are tied. And if there was a net, it would have burned it up. And the whole host team was like, oh, cuatro, cuatro, cuatro. And from that moment, every day on the site, they're talking to us in Spanish, broken Spanish. Oh, I'm LeBron James, or I'm Michael Jordan. And they were talking about sports and how they wanted to play us at the end of the week. And here I am, oh, no, I don't want to play. I'm here trying to do God's business, right? And at the end of the week, on Friday, we're on the roof building, and it's sunny outside. I got on swimming trunks, a basketball jersey, and some combat boots, steel-toe boots, because I'm working. And I was, you know, I had mixed gear on, working gear and basketball gear. And what ended up happening is we heard all through the town these loudspeakers, and they were speaking in Spanish, and then it says, Team USA. And I said, Glenn, what are they saying? And Glenn was like, oh, they're telling all the townspeople to come out to the village at 2 o'clock because the town is going to be taking on Team USA. And in that moment, my heart dropped. Why did my heart drop? Because my whole life, sports has been part of my life. My whole life, I had wanted to be an Olympian, but I'm 5'8". You know, I could dunk, but I was 5'8", and I didn't have Olympic. I was a 7.5. I wasn't a 10. So I didn't have Olympic abilities. But my whole life, I wanted to be in the Olympics. I wanted to represent my country. And if you've played sports, you've always envisioned those moments. And so here it is. It starts pouring down raining. I have my swimming trunks on. It starts pouring down raining. And at 2 o'clock, it's just raining galore. And everyone comes to watch the game. And we played two games. I played the two worst games that I had ever played in my whole entire life. I looked like the 2019 Golden State Warriors. I was bad. I'm a Rockets fan. I was bad. That's how I looked. But at the end of that second, we beat them both games. At the end of that second game, the pastor of that church that we're building calls me out to half court. And he remembers cuatro, cuatro, cuatro. And he hands me the ball at half court and he says, Cornelio, you double or nothing. You make it from half court, you guys win. You go home happy. If you miss it, we win. And all of everybody who's ever played sports, I'm going to keep looking at him because I need him to come to San Quentin to play basketball to us when he turns 18. But in that moment, what happens is I was 32 years old, and I started playing sports at like 6. So from 6 to 32, all of those moments of practice, of shooting half-court shots, shooting three-pointers, the game is on the line, you know, and scoring to win the game in dramatic fashion in the Olympics, that is now coming to a climax. And I didn't have to second guess it. I grabbed the ball and just launched it. Form, pretty, everything. And once again, I've missed every shot all day long. But yet, that shot, if there would have been a net, it would have burned it up. It just, whoosh. And in that moment, I realized that God had given me everything that I need. He knew me so well that once I started to grow and begin to mature in him and to begin to learn how to, or begin to want to handle his word, because I had yet to learn how to do it, but this was him saying, I see you. I have given you the talent. And so, you don't give up. I'm going to show you something so you can keep pressing forward. Because instead of there being 300 billion people watching on television hit the shot, it was only an audience of one. And I did it for his glory. And I did it for his glory alone. So God knows what we need. And many times what we try to do, we try to say, hey, you know, that's, you know, I know that's my talent, but I do that at work. I know that's that talent, but I do that with my kids. You know, I need to do something different for God because God is holy. so I need to find something different. But no, he knows exactly what you need, and he gives you the exact amount of what you need. That's how good of a God that we serve, right? And that's what it's about. Not about the talent, but about the God that we serve. Because he's a good God, or should I say good master, which is a good God, he rewards us for our faithfulness. When those two servants came back and they said, "Master, master, master, see, you gave me five." They were excited. "See, you gave me five, and now I've brought back five more." And then the other one said, "See, you gave me two, and I brought you back two more." Right? They were excited. Excited. And what does he say? You know, I know when I was reading the NSAB, but then I'm so used to quoting the NIV, so I kept mixing words up. But he says, "Now enter into your master's joy." And for every believer, that is what we want to hear. "Well done, that good and faithful servant. Now enter into your master's joy." Because he's a good God, he rewards us accordingly. He rewards us accordingly. He's a good God. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So when we go out, like these, the five and the two, he expects a return. So if he's given you five talents, in the scripture he's saying he expects five more back. And if he's given you two, he expects two more back. And he expects us to go do it immediately. And he rewards us, and that reward is to be with him. That reward is to enjoy his happiness, to be in his presence. And when you look at these two servants, you can see there was an excitement. And we can see when he said, "Go out immediately," you know, you could see that they were expecting that or desiring this response, you know. So, you know, when we look at James 1:2, to kind of add to this, it says, "Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive a reward, the life which God has promised to those who love him." That is a reward, the life that he's promised us, and that's to be with him. That's to be in heaven and to have endless fellowship with him. So when you go out and you use your talents and you use them for the glory of God, we're not doing it for man. You know, first Colossians 3:17 as well as 3:23 basically talking about, paraphrase, is that it's our job that we work unto God, not unto man. God is our master. He's our boss. We don't worry about man. We work unto him. And when we work unto him, he rewards us for our faithfulness. The job doesn't have to be pretty. Remember, I missed every shot known to man for two games. It doesn't have to be pretty. But he rewards you for your faithfulness. That's the kind of God that we serve. And then lastly, because he's a good master, he's a just master. Now, many people don't want to talk about that, about God being just. In our modern day and time, especially in this region right here, God is love. They want to talk about all of the great things that Jesus said, but they never want to hear Jesus talking about repent. They never want to hear Jesus talking about it. As he tells this third servant, you know, throw him out into the outer darkness. They never want to talk about those things. But God is still just. Our master, he has to be just, because if he's not just, he's not a good God. Justness goes with goodness. And so when we look at this third servant who had one talent, he had a wrong theology of who God is. And many of us fall in this place. Once again, that's where I was. You fall in this place where you have a wrong theology, which means a study of God. You have a wrong theology of God and his character, because you think this man is basically saying, you go and you reap where you don't sow. That's what so basically, he's trying to say someone else plows the ground and the harvest comes up and you take it. So you're an unjust man. You're an unjust God. You're an unjust master. And how many people you know like that? There's a gentleman that I was hanging out with, and we were having a conversation, and he kept saying, I don't believe in God. And the reason why I don't believe in God, because basically he was saying God is a moral monster. He's so unjust. How can he allow all these babies to die? How can he all these different things? So no matter if God was real in his mind, no matter if God showed up today, he still wouldn't believe it because he thinks God is a bad person. And many people have a wrong theology of who God is. And that's why they won't go out and do what they're called to do with their talent. Or better yet, there are some people who are believers, but he says, you're lazy. You're wicked and you're lazy because I've given you something. But yet, instead of doing what I call you to do with it, you've basically gone and done what you wanted to do with it. Many times we're given talents, you know, and, you know, the most common one is singers. They're raised in the church, they grow in the church, and then they run off to the world. And they make countless money, and they never turn back to the church. They do what they want with the talent that God has given them. And in this man, he's went and put it in the ground. And Jesus said, people like that will be thrown out into the utter darkness. Because they don't know who I am. They have a wrong theology of who I am. Because if they knew me, they would know that I'm a good God, that I'm a good master. And then they would immediately go out and do what I've called them to do with the talents that I've given them because I know what they need. You know, we at San Quentin State Prison, there's countless men there. And they come in to play sports. And there's a movie called Cue Ball. I suggest you all look up on your DVR, whatever you call them. And it's called Cue Ball. It's on Fox Sports. And they did a movie. And one of our friends named Raphael, he's inside the prison. Raphael, when in the movie, he says, man, you got all these guys who come in here. They won't go to church. They won't go to a self-help group. But they'll play some ball. They'll play basketball, but they're not going to do any of those other things, right? So they'll use the talent, but they won't worship the one who gave them the talent. They'll use the talent, but they won't give honor to the one who's used the talent, or they won't use the talent for what it's for. And when we look at that part of the scripture, there's some blurriness because some people believe that's to the unbeliever. And some people believe that because he is a servant in the master's house, that it's two believers. But yet, there are different rewards in heaven. You know, he rewards us for our faithfulness. So there's a blurred line, and I'm still learning my theology on that point, so I'll leave it there. But the point that I want you to see is that he's a just God. And if we don't immediately go out and use what he's given us, or if we use what he's given us for our own gain and his justness, he's going to be just. So with that said, you know, we serve a good God. And like I said before, this passage is always preached and taught regarding the talent and our faithfulness with what we do until his return. But what's always so glossed over is the master and why we do what we do with what he's given us. The talent is just the worm on the hook. As we go out fishing for men, if I love sports, then that's my fishing hole. You know, if you love this, that's your fishing hole. If he gives you gifts here, that's your fishing hole. But yet, it's about proclaiming his word, giving him reverence, and teaching those to obey everything that he's given us. That's what it's about. The talent is great. I love that shot that I made. I love it. I go to San Quentin State Prison now. I'm 42 years old. I still play basketball, still play football. I'm still really good. Basketball, I am bad. Good job. I am bad. I am horrible. That's Spanish. I don't know Portuguese, but, you know, I am horrible. But guess what? When I go play at San Quentin State Prison and I'm playing basketball now, one of the guys told me after one of the games, I did the halftime devotional, and he was like, Raphael, who's not even a Christian, he's a Muslim, but yet he comes because he's on the verge of giving his life. And so he comes, and he's the coach, and he plays, and after one of the games, and after the halftime devotional, and then played the second half, end of the game, he was like, nail. Man, I went and looked at the scoreboard. It said you had 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds. But guess what I saw? 2 scriptures. Good job, man. Good job. And in that moment, what does it mean? Because I often get mad at God. You can get mad at God, but it's from what you do after that, you got to watch out, right? And so I get mad at God. I'm like, why didn't you allow me to come in here when I was 25, when I was dunking, or I was the fastest thing that was out there, and I was quick, and I could, like Kobe, I could will my team to win by myself. Why didn't you do that? And then he told me, is that because then they would be looking at you. You're horrible now. So they're not looking at you. They're looking at me because they see every week you play so bad. You're so faithful. You're so obedient. That you give it your all. You're out there scratching people. You're out there falling on the ground. You're giving it your all. And they see me, not you. And the talents, you know, he's asked me to come and to preach. But then he was like, well, you can talk about what you do. I want you to talk about what you do because it's reflective of the gospel. And it's reflective of what we're called to do. And what you do, you don't do it because you do it. You do it because you love God. And because you love God, those talents, they flow from it. And so now at San Quentin State Prison, we have men and women. Not women. We have men. We have men who are the worst of the worst, who have been thrown away from society to where now they said, you have given us our humanity back. Because now we know God sees us. Now we know that God still loves us. Now we know that God cares about us because of your faithfulness with the talent that you've been given. You ain't good with your talent anymore, but you still use it. And see, that last piece is for someone. That's for someone. You know, there's someone in here who doesn't know how to swim. You know, I can't swim. You know, there's, you know, I'm not going to go into to stereotypes, but I can't swim. I can swim a little bit, but there's somebody in here who may not be able to swim, but yet you go for fitness. And then you see, man, God, this is a mission field of souls, but I can't swim, but he can swim. So as you begin to minister and proclaim the gospel to him, he goes to the swimming pool with you. And now he uses his talent because you've discipled him. Or you don't even need someone. If you go, you see someone who can swim good, and you begin to proclaim the gospel to them. Then you begin to teach them to obey everything that God has called you to obey. And then now this person is a believer. And now he's now in charge of this pool ministry. And that's what it's about. Don't get hung up on what you can't do and what you're not given. Because what does he say in the scriptures? He says that take away from that wicked and lazy servant that talent. Take it away from it and give him to the one who has 10. Because those who are faithful, they will have more. So it may not be something that you do now, but yet you can gain that because of your faithfulness. So with that said, you know, I just truly want to challenge everyone before you leave today and to challenge your hearts, because many times, like the talent, we get stuck. or not like the talent, like the fifth person or the third person with one talent, we get stuck. And getting stuck, you know, we use our talent to do what we want to do with it. Or we go and dig and put that talent in the ground. Or better yet, we say, you know, I just want to serve food. You know, I just want to serve food. You know, I don't want to, you know, do this. But even Stephen was over the tables, right? Stephen was a man that says in Acts 6 that was full of faith and full of wisdom. And they took Stephen, this preacher, and they made him serve food to the Hellenistic Greek widows. And that's what he became. He became a server. Had the tray on his arm. He was going out, you know, you need some more bread, you need some more salsa, you need some more chips. He became a server. But in that serving, he didn't just use his job to serve. He was proclaiming the gospel, because that's why he was stoned to death, because he was proclaiming the gospel. Not just because he was serving food, because he was proclaiming the gospel. So the challenge today is to be about the Father's business. Be about your master's business. But in order to be about his business, you need to know who the master truly is, so that you can give him the reverence and the worth that he desires. Because see, Jesus says the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Quoting Moses in Deuteronomy 6, right? Those are the first four commandments. If you have a proper theology of who God is, that flows into your neighbor so that you can love your neighbor and do what God has called you to do. Amen?